repeal the health care law. I guess same story, 32nd or 33rd verse?
Well, it's the 31st, actually.
Okay.
And I actually think we might get more people on the other side of the aisle to come over and vote with us today.
Now, what do you think difference, I mean, some Democrat sides, what do you think is the difference that they want to come over to the side this time?
Well, it still polls very unpopularly. The law polls very unpopularly with the American people. And so we're 4 months away from election now. And some of these folks, if they vote to keep Obamacare, are going to have some frustrated voters talking to them on November 6th. And so I think you'll have some more of them that come across and support getting rid of this law.
Well, probably didn't come as a big surprise, but yesterday the governor said that Texas, in fact, is not going to put together any kind of an infrastructure for Medicaid. And again, not a surprise, but what are your thoughts on what Governor Perry did?
Well, he made the right decision, because if you look at the way the law works, if you set up an exchange, then you wind up being on the hook. You as the state wind up being on the hook for hundreds of millions to billions of dollars of potential cost. And if you don't set up an exchange, then the federal government, your employees in the state, employers of the state, wind up not being subject to the penalties. And their cost goes down. So your state winds up being more competitive from a business standpoint if you don't enact the exchange. With respect to setting up an expanded Medicaid program, the way that was going to work is since that provision of the law was held to be unconstitutional and says that the federal government cannot extort the state into setting up a Medicaid exchange, then that forces those people that would have been into the expanded Medicaid coverage to be on the Obamacare part of the federal program. And so it saves states hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to not set up an expanded Medicaid program. It's a little complicated to explain, but for the states, the governor made the right decision. There's another 20-some-odd governors who are making the same decisions to not set up the exchanges and to not expand their Medicaid programs.
But Texas has more people on Medicaid than anybody else. I mean, there are a lot of people who have to feel like there's this hole that's going to open up underneath them now.
Yes, but what will happen is we've got to remember, what is it that makes that provides the money for all these programs, for all federal governments, for all state governments, for all our local governments? It's the private sector. And the thing that's been left out of the Obamacare discussion all too often is what the cost is, not only to the federal government, to the federal hardworking taxpayers, but also to the states. And to the extent that it drives that you imperil the fiscal position of your states, then you imperil private sector jobs, and then you get into this loop where you can't produce enough tax revenues to cover the cost. So the states run deficits, federal government runs a deficit, and we kill our economy. And that's what this law does. Even the CBO has estimated that at a minimum it'll kill 800,000 jobs in this country. So by not adopting the Medicaid mandate or the exchange, you put your state in a competitive position to be able to create more jobs, have more economic activity, and therefore have more money to cover more uncovered people.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. The president has apparently decided that he wants to do what he did last year, and that is extend the Bush-era tax rates for one more year. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we should do the same thing. As a matter of fact, I believe on the fourth week of this month, we're in session 4 weeks in July, and on the fourth week of this month, we're going to have a vote to extend all of the current tax rates for an additional year, so we take that uncertainty off the table. And what that does, that puts us in a position to begin talking about comprehensive tax reform. And as I understand it, we're also going to put out on the floor for a vote is an outline of what that tax reform should look like, so we can talk to the American people about what the choices are ultimately of tax systems.
Then also there, having a look at, normally we talk about the House acting on something and the Senate dragging their feet, kind of a reverse here in that the farm bill is already something that the Senate has agreed upon, but it's a tougher row to hoe, if you will, in the House. What's the holdup right there from your view?
Well, there's a high likelihood that the House version of the Farm Bill is going to look dramatically different than the Senate version of the Farm Bill. If you look at the Senate version of the Farm Bill, it'd be more aptly called the Food Stamp Bill. And we in the House have been more focused let's talk about it. In terms of farm programs, we believe we ought to provide crop insurance and risk management programs for farmers, but begin to phase out price support programs over time. And that more importantly, we need to rein in the explosion that we've had on the food stamp program. I mean, the federal government has seen the explosion of food stamp recipients from about 30 million up to 47 million over the past 3 years. And we need to get, there's a lot of fraud in it. We need to get it reduced. We need to focus less on food stamps and a lot more on paychecks. And so our farm bill would likely reflect that. And so you're going to have this big fight when you go to the floor to try to balance the Senate farm bill versus the House farm bill. And there's a good likelihood you wouldn't get anything done. So why spend the time to do that? But the ag committee is marking up a farm bill today, and I'm anxious to look at it, see what it looks like, and I'm willing to have the fight to try to come up with a farm bill that's less food stamps and more about agriculture.
Well, you were talking to us last week in the studio about this. We joke about it on the show, except it's really not funny. It's tragic that the SNAP program is out there, which is a federally funded project to get more people on food stamps. How can you defund something like that?
Well, when those appropriations bills come up, we always put riders in those so that no funds can be used to advertise the expansion of welfare programs. Unfortunately, when the Senate doesn't pass their appropriations bills, and we are forced to adopt continuing resolutions, and we will push as hard as we can to strip those programs out, and we're successful the bulk of the time. But sometimes we aren't, and so these advertising programs wind up getting funded in a conference between the House and the Senate on a continuing resolution, and we can't get them stripped out. And so it's just egregious to have to spend taxpayer dollars to advertise for the expansion of a welfare program.
Yeah, again, if you talk about a disconnect between Congress and the real world, that's a great place to put it. What happens between now and the next?
Just remember, though, the House is on the side of the taxpayers on this, so.
Yeah, I understand, and it's trying to make a cut there. So what happens between now and next week when we talk?
Well, next week we're going to talk about the defense sequester. The third week of this month we're going to be talking about regulations. The fourth week of this month we're going to be talking about taxes. One little aside, we just finished our third town hall meeting in the northern part of the district on Monday night, and we called out over 100,000 people in these three teletown halls. We had several thousand participants, and we asked a question in these town halls, should Obamacare be repealed? And over 85% of the folks on the call said it should be repealed.
Okay, not a surprise to you, I'm sure.
Not a surprise, no,
I understand.
Sir.
You can, Bill Flores joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session, sometimes on Wednesdays when they're not in session, but you can hear the entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Good to talk to you, Scott, and ask our listeners to pray for our country and our military during these difficult times.
All right, thank you.